I'll just speak to you this morning for a very few minutes from the book of Esther, one of only two books in the Bible as we know it, named after a woman. The other book is Ruth. I'm reading from Esther chapter 4, verses 10 to 15. On your marks, are you ready? Get set. Go. We're in a time of sporting wonder at the moment, aren't we? Wimbledon. Nobody even remembers it. Football. Athletics. They get up and they go. They travel the world to entertain in the gifts that God gave them in their bodies, in their strength, in their skills. The footballers worship in a phenomenal way in comparison to how the body of Christ may worship our God. We need to get louder than them and celebrate harder than they do. Amen? Let's take our marks. Esther chapter 4. The book of Esther is written in a time, and you'll find some of it in the book of Ezra, verses chapter 7 to 8. It kind of happens in that kind of time. It's a book where there is a king who has control of a massive province. And the Babylonian Empire had fallen. And now they were under the hands of the Persian Empire. Modern day Persia seems to be stated as Iraq and Iran. But it was bigger than that in those days. One king ruling many provinces and controlling many, many people. The Jews were among those people that were under the rulership of this king of Persia. And we find in the book of Esther a young orphan. She's orphaned. She has no parents alive, and she's brought up by her uncle. Hebrew name for her is Hadassah. But I'm reading from chapter 4, where the poor old king has discarded his queen because she insulted him. And you can't be seen to do that in a nation and have other people mimicking what Queen Vashti did and therefore disrespecting their husbands throughout the regions. And so they're in search for a new queen, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of virgins, the most beautiful women in the province, are sought, and the orphaned Jewish Esther is taken from her second home, because her first was with her parents. And here she is uprooted again and taken into a palace in a place that she doesn't understand its culture or the why. She's been taken again from her family. Chapter 4, verses 10 to 15. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. You see, there had been an edict that every Jew should be killed because Esther's uncle, Mordecai, had insulted one of the king's leaders. When he found out that this was a Jew, he had the king sign off that every Jew in the land, including women and children, would be killed. And the king had signed and sealed that, not knowing his new queen Esther was a Jew. And so this discourse begins between Esther and her uncle. Verse 10, then Esther spoke to Hathach and ordered him to reply to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter, so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. So even the queen, his wife, couldn't go before the king unless he said to come. And for 30 days he hadn't called her, and Mordecai is saying, go to the king and beg for your people. And the only way, if she comes, he holds up his scepter, it's all good. They related Esther's words to Mordecai, so she's challenging him, saying, there's no way I can go. If he doesn't hold up his scepter, I die. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this? Verse 15, Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go. So here's our go. That's one of the goes. Assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa. Susa was the capital city of Persia. And fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded. Now on your marks, Esther was taken and placed in a foreign land, in a strange place. But she obeyed. She took her marks. She didn't know what was ahead of her, but she got ready. The major part is the get set. You can't go unless you have prepared. Esther went through an incredible time of preparation. As I said, she was orphaned. Was her attitude, you don't touch me, I'm not going to obey, I'm not going to do what I've been commanded to do. No, she took her marks, not knowing what was ahead, but she went. So her attitude brought her in the king's house favor. That attitude paved the way for something future that would make a major difference to the world. She says, all right, I'll go. If I die, I die. But at least I would die making it count, saving my nation, or making a stand for my nation. There's an acceptance of the inevitable. There's an acceptance of no matter what happens. There's a preparation for a journey that sets her up to act and to succeed against all odds, in heartache. Wow, my parents, they're not alive. Now I'm separated from my uncle and I'm in among hundreds of strange women. And now I'm the queen to a strange man, something I wouldn't have chosen. But she's done it. Against all odds. What do we do in times of heartache, in times of difficulty? What's our attitude? Esther reminds me of Joseph in the Old Testament, imprisoned, badly treated by his brothers, falsely accused, years and years in prison and forgotten. Later becoming the second in command to the nation of Egypt because of his attitude, because of his humility, because of his trust and his faith in God. It's very interesting that in the book of Esther, there's no mention of God. But the implication is, who would you fast to? Call a fast. Take an action that God will hear is the implication. So even though he's not mentioned in the book of Esther, God, his providence, his goodness, his control over every situation is evident there. So she's getting set. She has been perfumed. She's gone through that journey. She's been chosen by the king. But this is also getting set. This discovery that her nation is about to be slaughtered. This discovery that there can be a complete wiping out of her people is still her getting set to do something. The book of Ecclesiastes, I think I preached on it the other day actually, chapter 3, says there is an appointed time for everything. Was this Esther's appointed time? Was she going to obey? Was she going to miss it? Was she going to die because she obeyed? Was this her appointed time? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. What's an event? A graduation like that's going to take place this evening. What's an event? A football match like England wins on penalties last night. Has God got anything to do with that? We don't know. But God knows, sees every single thing that our lives are intertwined in. What matters to us already matters to him. So there are appointed times. And there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, but a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep. Esther had to keep an appointment. And a time to throw away. A time to tear apart. And a time to sew together. A time to be silent. And a time to speak. And so often we know to speak, but we don't know when to keep silent. Esther called a 3-day fast. She and her women would keep silent in the palace and do business with God. And those in Susa would join and do the same. Out of the silence. Whoosh, arikabusu roba ki kara, nite randorosaba, shirabusu rokaba. Out of the silence comes the will of God and the plan of God in that case. Not just getting up and fighting and tussling, but a time to be silent, to seek, to hear. To prepare, to get set for what God is about to tell you to do. Heather, please permit me to bring a word to you. For there are many things taking place in your life. There's chaos there, there's chaos there, there's chaos there, there's chaos there. You have climbed with God out of difficult situations. But they are your get set time, your preparation time. You have been silent in moments when others would scream. God is about to instruct you, and you will know what to do. God bless you. So maybe for some of us it's a time like Esther to say, I call a fast over my situation. I remain silent so that God can command and instruct and help me and show me and guide me in what to do. So there is a season for everything. Esther goes before the king and the scepter is held up. Now she knows God has approved what is about to happen, not man. And so she does her part. The king hears and plots are uncovered that bring the downfall of the one who stood against her nation, that bring the promotion of her uncle. She went to the king after all that preparation, after the fasting. She went. She had got set. She had got prepared. Some of us need to see that the struggles we go through in life, we haven't got there yet. We're still on our journey in Christ Jesus. Perfection hasn't met us yet. We are striving to be perfect like our perfect God, to be holy like our holy God, but we're on a journey. We mustn't stop in our preparation to do what God has called us to do. Is it Rose? Rosalind? Your career is good. And you don't know what you have impacted or who you've impacted. But seek the Lord now, for there's a bigger impact to come in your sphere of work. You have not looked for fame. You have not looked for fortune. But there's a promotion coming, not necessarily a new job or money or position, a promotion from God that will show that organization who he is through you. So your time to be silent is now, so that he will show you what to do. Amen? Amen. And so let me wrap up. Ordinary people with extraordinary influence we can all be. That's God's plan. Esther was an orphan, just a little girl, taken and catapulted into becoming the queen of a massive province. What's he got in store for us? What has he called each of us to do and be? Ordinary people. She was willing to give her life and she trusted God more than what she counted as important, her life. We can't see ourselves as helpless victims in life situations. In each situation, hard as it is, good as it is, we must see that God has a definite plan. Now, when Esther went before the king, when Mordecai was rescued and made second under the king, notice that God could have changed and shifted everything, but he used them. Why? God wants us to agree with him, to walk with him, to be used of him, because he desires relationship. Relationship means he partners with us. He doesn't have to. He could do it all by himself. But where is creation? We were made for his pleasure, by his will. And he wants us to partner with him. That's why we should get set and why we should go. Because Esther obeyed, decades later, Nehemiah, who was a Jew, had favor before the king of his day. The walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt because Esther's obedience was not just about the nation at that point, but it was also about the future. What will our go do for the future generations? The young people that are in the back and upstairs and across in other buildings right now, what will our obedience do for those young people, for Nehemiah's, Jeremiah's, Isaiah's, Paul's to be raised up if we today get set, prepare, and go. Are you ready to go? Are you ready? Are you preparing?